did we go too far? Have we worked too hard to go for the most efficient system and failed to remember that every now and then you will have a storm, you'll have a landslide, you'll have a wildfire or something that takes the system out?
A part of the leadership function, I think, is to create a vision of civility.
I was just gutted when I heard about Stuart McLean's passing, and I think that probably a lot of folks owe their start to him.
It's time for our Talk Back segment, where we turn the microphone over to you for your thoughts on our stories this week. And Andrew Criatta is here. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
So, what got people talking this week?
The big one was highways, trucking, and our food supply. Last week, every road into and out of the Lower Mainland was shut down because of bad weather, and within a day, supplies at the local grocery stores started to run low. I snapped a shot of an empty produce shelf at Save On Foods here in Prince George, saved that to our Facebook page, and we started to get stories from other places. Similar situation in Quesnel. In Terrace, the milk section started to run dry at Safeway, and that got people talking and sharing their memories of other times they've been cut off. Eva Beeson wrote, "Yep, we had that happen in Dawson Creek a few years ago because of severe ice on the roads. They no longer have warehousing in the stores, so it's dependent on trucks being able to get to the stores daily." And Walter Frick said, "I remember the flood in Calgary 4 years ago. I went to the grocery store for a couple of items and disaster mentality had kicked in. Not a drop of water, a loaf of bread on the shelves. Every till was open and almost everyone had carts heaped with stuff and each line was to the back of the store. We always have about a month's worth of stuff in our pantry and freezers, but not so much perishables like milk."
Right.
And it seems like this stocking up is a common theme for some of our listeners. Zoe Sikora said, "This looks like Haida Gwaii winter storms prevent ferries from coming through. Personally, I have a week's worth of milk in the freezer, frozen veggies, and we carry on." And several other people said the same thing. Aaron Scott Fisher, "I'm sorry, but if you can't go 72 hours without going to the grocery store, you're unprepared. Things can go sideways so quickly on the highway on a grand scale like this, or something more local that can block access to stores." Sean Petrie said, "It's not the end of the world. What happens? You eat fat and survive. So much oil and lard are still on the shelves. Plus, you can take a few weeks off of eating, no problem. In a disaster, life is not comfortable and is certainly not gourmet." And Billy Barton said, "There's lots and lots of frozen and canned goods, produce that is preserved with a far higher nutritional value than ever due to advances in preservation methods. People lasted through long winters previously utilizing only traditional ways of curing and canning. They'll be able to survive if only with store-bought." Mm. And of course, we had a couple of people point out that this is a good reason to thank a trucker for their service, keeping us fed. And Andrew Young wrote, "It really shows how dependent the people of BC are on oil and gas."
Oh, well, there you go. Well, another big story, sadly, the passing of Stuart McLean. We also had a number of tributes come in for Stuart McLean.
Yes, one of the great Canadian storytellers passing away this week. I was lucky enough to see him in concert a couple of times. He was actually the first celebrity I interviewed. This was when I was a student journalist up at UNBC. He talked to me for over an hour, mostly giving me musical recommendations.
Makes sense, okay.
Yeah. A great memory for me, and I'm not the only one with fond memories of him. Douglas Lowe's writes, "His work helped me through many night shifts. Sorry to hear the news." And John Togi said, "We actually got asked to leave when he played in Prince George, as our very exuberant two-year-old kept interrupting Stuart as he told a story. Jess, his producer, his long-suffering producer, as he liked to say, was very kind, and I think we were part of a select few to get kicked out of one of his shows. Thoughts and positive vibes to his family and friends." There was lots of other short messages like this, but what I'd really like to do here, Robert, is take a page out of Stuart McLean's book and do a story exchange.
Okay.
Time now for the Vinyl Cafe Story Exchange. That's right, you know how this works. This is the part of the show where you send us your stories. They have to be true stories and they have to be short, but after that, they don't have to be anything at all. After that, it's up to you. We promise we'll read everything you send us, and we promise to read some of our favorites right here on the radio.
All right, so in this story comes to us from Greer Kaiser in Terrace. Writes, "Hi, Caroline and Robert. I moved across the country from Nova Scotia to British Columbia in 1989 to begin my career. I teach in northwestern BC, and like many people across the country, CBC has long been a kindred and valued friend. I really got to know CBC intimately when I first drove across this vast country in the July of 1990 to return with my cat to visit my home province. I would drive the 6,500 kilometers from Kitwanga to Hubbards, Nova Scotia, and then 6 weeks later turn around to do it all over again in reverse direction. I made this trek 4 summers in a row. It was during these summer sojourns that I came to appreciate and know both Peter Zowski and Stuart McLean. I became a fan of both, and even when I dropped down into the States, I felt safer if my Volkswagen Fox's radio picked up a CBC station. When it was announced Peter is retiring and Morningside was coming to a close, it was long before podcasts and internet streaming. I desperately wanted to be able to listen to the show in its entirety, and I scrambled to figure out how I could make it happen. I was teaching junior high school by that time, and my students were not interested in listening. Plus, I wanted to savor the show uninterrupted in a respectful solitude. Back then, our school district had funds that would release teachers for half a day to write up our individual education plans on our students who required adaptations and modifications to their programs. I decided to use my half day that morning to listen to the last show and sit in the back of our school library writing up my EIPs. It was a win-win situation. Because I did not have to report for teaching that morning, my routine was a bit slower paced. I left for work a few minutes later than usual, so when I drove through Tim Hortons, I got my coffee a few minutes later than the normal time. Once at school, I got my paperwork ready and headed back to the library, where the day before I had set up a radio with the CBC station. I set to work listening to the show and writing my reports. Stuart brought the famous hissing cockroach to Zowski, and I giggled along with them as the story unfolded. I finished my coffee, and I rolled up the rim. Fully expecting the please play again message, I was shocked to see a winning message. And it was not a pack of Timbits or another coffee. It read, "You won a barbecue." Stuart and Peter laughed while I stopped breathing for a couple of seconds. I won. I sat down and listened to the rest of the show, feeling very lucky. I had had the pleasure of hearing the last Morningside, and I had won an actual prize of value. I silently thanked Peter Zowski, knowing that if I had not booked the morning off, my day would have started at the regular time, and my new barbecue would have gone to someone else. My winning was destined to be. I always meant to write to tell Zowski or Stuart the story. I used that barbecue up until 2 years ago when I finally upgraded and gave it to a friend. Today, I offered my History 12 students $5 if they could read Dave Cooks a Turkey out loud and not laugh. I'll bring a crisp blue bill and my copy of the Vinyl Cafe book tomorrow to see if they can do it. I was so happy when Stuart came to Terrace so I could experience it live. What a treat that night was. It was truly magical, and I feel lucky to have experienced it. I think a lot of us will be revisiting the Vinyl Cafe so we can mourn with some laughter as Stuart would have wanted. To take from Stuart's last message to us, I offer this wish. And know that this isn't goodbye. It's just so long for now. And that story came to us from Greer Kaiser in Terrace.
Thank you so much for that message, Greer. Nice sentiment for sure. And finally, before we let you go, Andrew, our own Daybreak tradition, the photo contest.
Yes, many lovely shots this week from Chetwynd, Fort St. John, Terrace. But this week's winner is Lou Allison, who went out for a skate on Wall Lake on Digby Island. Got a great shot of frozen bubbles trapped in the ice. Mm. It is our new cover photo over at facebook.com/DaybreakNorth. And we will be sending Lou a Daybreak mug.
A rare phenomenon up there. I imagine it was such a beautiful day. That photo, of course, definitely illustrates that. Thank you, Andrew, so much for sharing those stories with us this week.
Thank you.
And if you have a story to share, you can call our listener line, 1-866-340-1932. Email us, daybreaknorth@cbc.ca, or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Daybreak North.